This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, when we hear the word dementia, we usually think of old age, memory loss in later life, not of nappies and playgrounds. But dementia can strike in childhood too. And when it does, it's devastating, rare, and still very poorly understood. So what causes it, and why has research lagged so far behind in this area? Professor Matthew Campbell is head of genetics department and chair of neurovascular genetics at Trinity College Dublin. He joins me now. Good to have you back in the studio, Matthew. Thank you so much. Just give us some context here. What is childhood dementia and how common is it?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on the show again. Delighted to be here. So really dementia, we think of dementia in the general public as a condition that affects older people, so people over the age of 65 generally. But amazingly, there is a collection of diseases that we know of called lysosomal storage diseases, or LSDs. And one of the central features of these conditions is that they involve childhood dementia. So they're rare diseases. So that's probably why people haven't heard about them. But just because something is rare doesn't mean we shouldn't study it. Mm. So it's really, really critical that we actually start studying these diseases, because if we can understand the rare dementias in childhood, it actually could open up the floodgates for understanding dementia in older people.
So I'm guessing the lysosome is central to this.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. So what is the lysosome and what is the storage problem?
So we kind of think of the lysosome as the stomach of the cell. It's kind of a place where the cell processes the junk material, breakdown products of proteins, carbohydrates, lipids, sugars. They go to the lysosome to be digested up by enzymes. So essentially they're filled with enzymes that cause this breakdown of all the carbohydrates.
Enzymes are kind of like scissors.
Exactly, scissors. Yeah. They're proteins that are basically act as scissors to chop up waste products. So that's one function of an enzyme. They've got loads of different functions, but one of the functions is they break down products of the cells.
Right.
So if these lysosomes aren't functioning properly, and the actual component parts of these lysosomes aren't functioning properly, the junk material can build up. Mm. And it can build up, and it can build up. And the problem with lysosomal storage diseases is that this material builds up in every single cell of the body. So it's not just located to one part of the body, it's every single cell. And so what we see is this progressive degeneration of the body, the systems of the body basically break down because
they get gummed up by the waste. It's kind of like when the garbage trucks go on strike.
Exactly. So everything just starts to break down because the clearance mechanisms of the cells and the body break down. So typically what happens is these lysosomes will break down material, they'll get them out of the cell in a very, very controlled fashion, and you'll end up just peeing them away. That's what happens. Most of these lysosomal breakdown products, right, they go out in your urine. But with these kids, what happens is the material just builds and builds up and builds up over their childhood. And one of the central features of it is that it can lead to neurodegeneration, or breakdown in the function of the neurons, the brain cells that make up the human brain. 100 billion brain cells allow the brain to function. So every single one of those 100 billion cells in the brain will start to build up toxic material, and with time that'll cause degeneration.
I mean, why do we see this as a cognitive disease? I mean, surely if that's happening in every part of the body, it's a full system. Does everything not break down, or is it just the brain breaks down first?
It's a great question. So everything breaks down.
Right.
So we see skin problems in these kids. The kids generally will go blind. And this is not for all lysosomal storage disease, I would say. It's only for a few of them. And specifically the one that I'll talk about today is multiple sulfatase deficiency, or MSD. But in multiple sulfatase deficiency, kids will go blind by the age of 4 or 5. But there is breakdown across the body. So there'll be, it's multi-morbid is the term that we would use. Mm. There's a whole range of morbidities associated with it. So you're actually absolutely correct that it affects every single part of the body. But obviously the most important part of the body is the brain, essentially. Yeah. You don't have to have master function of the body. So that's kind of the central feature that we see is the neurodegeneration.
Is that... And so then, in terms of symptoms, poor cognitive function, inability to speak, lack of motor function, what happens?
So typically what we see in a multiple sulfatase deficiency especially, what we see typically in this, it's ultra rare. So this isn't even rare, it's ultra rare. And okay. by that I mean it affects less than 1 in 50,000 people in the world.
Okay.
There are only about 20 to 25 kids in the world who have multiple sulfatase deficiency, so it's really, really rare. What we see in this condition is that kids stop meeting developmental milestones. So when you expect your child to start walking at the age of, you know, 12 to 18 months,
yeah.
that's not happening. When right. you expect them to start talking at the age of 2 or 3, that's not happening. So, you know, a red flag goes off in the parent's head and says, there's something not right here. Mm. They'll go to a pediatrician, they'll do genetic testing, and they may or they may not identify a condition that's a genetic condition that is a lysosomal storage disease.
Right.
So that's kind of the where we're at with these conditions, that it's developmental in childhood that kids just won't meet their developmental milestones.
Right. So obviously this is hugely important for the families and the children involved, but a very rare disease is a difficult thing to study. Tell me about your research, why you're interested in this one particular disease, and how do you go about studying something that is so rare?
So, as I said, the name of this condition is multiple sulfatase deficiency. And up until about 8 years ago, I'd never heard of it. And a lot of people have never heard of this because it's so ultra rare. And I was approached by a man called Alan Finglas, an Irishman. He's from Dublin. And his son had recently been diagnosed with multiple sulfatase deficiency.
Right.
This must have been back in, my memory escapes me, but it's probably back in around 2016, 2017, is when he approached me and I started to learn about this condition. And his child, Dylan, had been diagnosed with multiple sulfatase deficiency. And he was trying to basically find out, is there a treatment for this or is there a potential cure, because it was so ultra rare. And since then, we've just kept in touch and we've constantly, you know, figured out, and he's basically taught me about multiple sulfatase deficiency. I've learned more from him than I've learned from textbooks and even from clinicians.
Yeah.
He's got the lived experience from it. Sadly, his son Dylan passed away last year. Mm. And since then, Alan has made a really, really big push to fund research into MSD. So
right.
he managed to raise €1 million on his own, just from fundraising activities in Ireland.
Wow.
That was very, very successful. And it led to the identification of potentially 50 drugs, 50 small molecules that might potentially treat MSD.
So obviously the challenge, there's many challenges with trying to figure this out, but in terms of understanding how these drugs might work, you know, trials and so on, like looking a little bit further down the road, how do you do any of those sort of testing without samples, without clinical trial applicants and so on?
So this is where our kind of expertise came in. So we're a lab that don't do research on multiple sulfatase deficiency, but what we're really, really good at, we're very, very skillful at taking drugs and identifying how those drugs work, number one, and are they efficacious in treating a disease? Doesn't matter what the disease is, whether it's epilepsy or brain fog or dementia, we're really good at doing that.
So this is molecule modeling rather than actually doing tests. It's prediction?
No, it's testing. It's testing. This is getting your hands wet at the bench, working with cells, working with preclinical models of disease, which we have to hand in the lab.
Okay, great.
And so working with Alan was able to put us in touch with a pediatric neurologist in Germany called Lars Schwatala. And Lars was the man who identified these 50 potential molecules. Now, I say potential because we're hoping that one of those molecules will actually be able to assist in clearing out the lysosome. It'll help to kickstart the lysosome to get it working again and basically allow for the clearance of the junk that's built up in the cells.
How do you identify molecules that will do that?
So it's called drug screening. So what you can do is you can set up what we term assays. You can set up these experiments that basically will allow you to take a whole library of maybe up to 5,000 to 6,000 molecules. Sometimes in big companies, they'll do 100,000 molecules.
Wow.
They can screen these using basically machines. We'll do this. Robots will do this.
Yeah.
And they will be able to put little tiny drops into individual cells in a 384-well plate
and
see what happens.
Wow.
Do it over and over again. They'll eventually find a family of drugs. You're not just looking for one drug. You're looking for a family of drugs that will work the same type of way.
Right. And so that's very exciting. And if you solve this problem, it could potentially have efficacy somewhere else, right? I mean, if you can find a way of preventing that breakdown of the the lysosome in terms of getting rid of the junk, that is a central problem to a bunch of other diseases, yep. right? Is it the same as adult dementia? Is that what happens in the adult brain? Because it's not something I'd heard before.
So in the adult brain, you know, with Alzheimer's disease, it's such a complex pathology in different types of dementia, from Lewy body dementia to Alzheimer's disease to chronic traumatic encephalopathy. There's different pathologies and pathobiologies at play. But lysosomal clearance is one of those things that we could potentially use to treat the disease. We don't know yet at what stage of treatment we could intervene at. Mm. But this is what's really critical about rare disease and why we need to increase support for rare disease, because rare diseases are rare generally because, one, there's very few people have them. In general, they're the remit of diseases that are genetic. So we know the exact gene that causes these diseases. We know what's called the etiology. We know the exact genetic etiology. So the mechanism of how the disease occurs, it's a bit easier in rare disease. Mm. Okay, so if we concentrate our efforts in studying rare disease and identify molecules that will work in very, very distinct biological ways, we could potentially say, well, we know that's work. That molecule is working to clear out the lysosome. Let's try it in a more common disease. Mm. So that's why we can't neglect rare disease.
I was actually doing some work with Rare Disease Ireland at the weekend, talking about communicating, you know, the story of a patient and the story of a disease, because you're absolutely right. It's a really, really lonely path sometimes for patients or relatives of patients who are trying to find answers because there's not enough money in it. Drug companies often, you know, aren't interested in finding a cure, and they're at the, you know, at the beck and call of their own ability to research disease. Or, I mean, in Alan's case, he was very lucky to find you. But mm-hmm. of course, you know, it's not always quick enough to save an individual, and it's an area that we absolutely do need to think carefully, not just because there are people there who feel very much alone, but also because there is potential. It's in a way, it's like blue sky research, you know, finding something in this disease could hold the answer to something else.
Yeah, we just need to flip the paradigm on its head. I mean, it's very easy to think that the biggest market is Alzheimer's disease. Loads of people have this condition. And therefore, if you make a drug, you can sell it to all these patients and all the hospitals treating these patients. Economically, if you look at it on paper, it's a no-brainer. Mm. But from a biological sense, biology doesn't play in a linear way. Biology yeah. is very, very different. It doesn't move in a single line or in a straight direction. So looking at rare disease is absolutely critical to understand biological mechanisms of common disease.
Professor Matthew Campbell from Trinity College Dublin, thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.